I can imagine the groans from some when they get beyond the neutral title and discover that this is yet one more among a deluge of books about Christianity and homosexuality. If that's your instinctive response, and you have nonetheless begun to listen to these words, can I plead with you not to stop here? This is an important book, one of the most important I have read in recent years. I tend to discount such comments as the kind of hyperbole that is expected in a foreword written by an author's friend, so let me stress, I really do mean it. This is not, as you may imagine, simply a conservative book, addressed only to believers who experience same-sex attraction and urging us to hold the biblical line on that one subject. It is, above all, radical, challenging all believers to a comprehensive reformation of thinking and behaviour. Let me tell you why I like it so much. First, it is a sensitive book. It is pastorally sensitive, as one might expect from a writer who is open about his own experience of same-sex attraction. His honesty about what that actually feels like is refreshing. He gets it. That matters for those of us in the same situation. But equally important, Ed Shaw is culturally sensitive. He recognizes that, even for many Christians who claim to believe that the Bible is the ultimate authority, the gods of our age, whether consciously acknowledged or not, have a greater influence on their ethical stance than biblical interpretation. It is not so much that minds have been convinced by new interpretations, but that hearts have been captured by the assumptions of individualism. In a world, and far too often a church as well, in which self-expression and self-fulfillment are largely unquestioned values, the orthodox Christian position on homosexuality can feel both unsustainable and even immoral. In this context, few will be convinced of the rightness of that teaching, however well the biblical case is argued, unless they are persuaded of its plausibility. Ed Shaw understands that this demands a book that does not simply focus the mind on the interpretation of a few key texts, but also addresses the heart and its underlying and often unrecognized convictions. The second striking feature of this book is that it is so positive. As Ed argues, the just say no approach to homosexuality is no longer compelling, if it ever was. What he offers us instead is a positive vision of the possibility of a vibrant and fulfilling life in fellowship with Christ for same-sex attracted Christians, even if it does mean missing out on sex and marriage. Of course, there will be suffering at times, but how could we expect otherwise in following the one who entered his glory via crucifixion and called on his disciples to travel the same road by denying themselves and taking up the cross? But what we are asked to give up is nothing compared with what we are invited to receive, both now and in the future. Life with Christ does involve sacrifice, as in all relationships, but it is defined ultimately not by what is denied, but by what, or better, who, is embraced. The saying no is preceded and enveloped by the yes we say to Christ, which is a response to his loving yes to us. He came to bring us life, not a form of living death, and he died to make that possible. We may experience the equivalent of what Ed calls his kitchen floor moments, when everything seems bleak, but in Christ and the wonder of all that God gives us in him, we have ample reason to get up off the floor, persevere and rejoice. He calls us not to a teeth-gritting stoicism, but to a faith-filled joy in sorrow and hope in affliction. The final reason I like this book so much is that it is punchy. The tone is never aggressive or hectoring, but you can sense the author's passion and righteous frustration. His sights are not set on the predictable target, compromising liberals, but on those who belong to his own evangelical tribe. Rather than simply accusing others of being unbiblical, we need to examine our own tradition against the standard of God's word. While claiming to resist the idols of hedonism and relativism, have we not too often entered into an unholy alliance with selfism? The modern idol that is worshipped most fervently of all. The result too often is a perversion of authentic Christianity which has little room for costly sacrifice and leaves the individual on the throne, rather than the living God.